for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's the Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Carney Wilson is our guest tonight.
Awesome.
Carney is currently in this month's... Please turn that down. Does anyone like that kind of music, by the way? Is there anybody who likes that?
Or it's like ravers.
Weird porno music.
Is it just accepted that this is the kind of stuff you have to put up with? Or I really believe that kind of music. Like, find me the guy who says, I have a CD of this, and this is what I listen to when I go on long drives.
I drive, yeah.
I'm going to show you a retard. Jesus Christ.
It's scary.
I know. Everything's so cool, so young. I think everyone just pretends like that. I think that just becomes the Emperor's New Clothes. Everyone just goes, oh, yeah, oh, no, no, oh, no, me, no, yeah, no, I'm young, I'm hip, I'm cool, I dig it. Yeah, oh, no, I'm all about, that's Dobie who does that. Carney Wilson in here tonight. Carney's got a lot of stuff on her plate, pardon the half pun. She's got a book that's out, and it's, I can't print them fast enough.
It's sold out.
Well, yeah.
They sold out.
So great. I can't believe it.
She's got a CD coming out, and this is a solo CD coming out in September. Mm-hmm. What's up with Wilson Phillips?
We've been writing songs for about 3 years now.
Yeah?
We've got about 40 songs, and now we have to just pick the right ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we're making another album.
Is everyone getting along okay?
Yeah, everyone's getting along great. We all have very different lives, but... You know, one's my sister and the other girl, China, I've known since I was born.
Hmm. Right.
You know, lifelong friends.
Everything's good. Who's she married to? One of those bald ones or something?
Yeah, Billy.
How's he? He's good?
He's cool.
He seems like the sane bald one.
Maybe. No. They're all very, very unique.
They're passionate men.
They're passionate men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steven's just like wacky. He's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Funny in an annoying way. All right. Let's keep rolling forward here. So Carney had the plastic surgery.
The what?
Well,
gastric surgery.
Bypass surgery.
Yeah, those are two different things.
But in a certain way it's the ultimate plastic surgery.
No, it's not.
In a certain way, yeah.
Absolutely not. How?
Well,
I mean, what do
you
mean?
Look. You get plastic surgery to enhance your looks. This
right.
is the ultimate look enhancer, if you think about it.
I really didn't look at it cosmetically.
But you know what? Plastics have rarely any therapeutic value, and this has a real therapeutic value from diabetes and heart disease.
Yeah, this could save your life, too. Yeah. But ultimately...
It was very health motivating.
This is bigger than any lipo, any nose job.
Right, but it's not like you have a surgery... Like when you go in for gastric bypass, you don't have a surgery, and then you wake up thin. Or like with liposuction, they're actually sucking the fat out.
Yeah.
This is like just reducing the size of your tummy, and then the work comes after that.
Right.
So it's not an instant thing, so it's not like...
So you went from... In 1999, went from 300 pounds to 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
How long after the surgery? What did you weigh when you went in for the surgery?
Well, my heaviest weight was 300, and then I lost about 10 pounds before I went in because I was so nervous that I stopped eating.
Right. See, to me, that'd be...
That's the ultimate diet. You're going to have surgery, and then you lose weight because you're so scared.
So you got down, so you're about 290. You
right.
go in,
right.
and how long before you're down to... 150.
It was about, I lost 130 pounds in 9 months.
Mm.
Wow.
It was very fast.
Mm.
It was about as fast as you can do it safely.
Safely,
let's
well.
See if that's even safe.
Yeah.
All
well,
right.
you know, yeah. there's a lot of things that come with it. You know, there's lots of water, vitamins, exercise.
They put you on a strict regimen?
Yeah. They really don't put you on anything. I mean, every surgeon has a different plan and program, but mm-hmm. I was a really good patient. I was very concerned, and I wanted to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I follow the rules, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy. It was really, really hard work, and the real work came later. I didn't know that.
Psychological work.
You mean? Yeah, yeah. The emotional part of this is like just really heavy duty because when you're fat your whole life, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't go around saying, "Hey, I'm skinny now," you know, because I'm not. I'm average size, but I really just sometimes I feel like I don't know myself at this weight, at this size.
How much of your weight? Do you, and I mean, this isn't a scientific question, but it's a sort of emotional question. How much of your weight do you chalk up to genetic or just sort of biological predisposition sort of things, and how much is your doing? I mean, you know, China Phillips is skinny as a rail, probably like the killer. But I mean, she's just, you know, if you take a look at at age 10 of you and of her,
right.
you look heavier than she does.
Of course.
And then that's the way it went throughout your life. So obviously there's a genetic component here.
I think so.
How much of it is that? How much of it is you? And do you know, have you ever asked that question?
Yeah, of course I have. I mean, I've thought about it, and it's very frustrating, and you think, well, that's not fair, and why, and you can ask, but hey, you know, everybody's made up differently, and I've accepted now that I really neglected a lot of things. You know, I overate my whole life. I just consumed more food than they did.
But
no matter what.
You also had a genetic hand, though.
Yeah, I think that definitely when you look at people that are obese, somebody in their family is also obese. And I know there's a link there.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely cursed in that way. So I have a disease, and I'll always have that. So I consider that.
Right.
But I'm not going to – I don't like to break it down like that anymore, because I think that's just an excuse to just not take responsibility.
And why the Playboy centerfold?
Why not?
Yeah, all right. Why not? I mean, doesn't – I guess I was talking to Drew about this a couple of nights ago, that I just believe – At the core of almost every woman I've ever met, there's a part of her that wants to be desired physically.
Yeah.
No matter where she's at, I don't care if she's on the Supreme Court, there's a part, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
Right.
I just think it's almost a biological thing.
Uh-huh.
There's no woman, no matter what her rap is, who wouldn't want to be lusted after, desired, and pinned up in some locker room somewhere.
Absolutely.
That's the way, and you never had that opportunity, obviously.
Well, I mean, it's like coming from my background and you know, being a musician and just being on the road. I mean, it's not like we were a male group with groupies, you know. It was not like these guys were running around chasing after us. I feel like I've always had some kind of fan base, you know, people, supporters maybe. But physically, I never really had that lusting after. I mean, I had boyfriends and everything growing up. I never had a problem with sex or attention like that, but I always sort of felt ashamed, you know. I really felt abnormal and out of place, so I compensated.
Was that shame something from childhood issues, or was that shame because of being overweight?
It was probably a combination of both.
And you were married. You've been married for how long?
3 years. We just had our 3 year anniversary.
So you were 300 pounds when your husband married you, right?
Oh, I was. I met my husband at 300. I lost about 130 after I met him. I'm sorry, when we got married.
You.
I was down to about 165 pounds
when you got married.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
And then you went back up, and then you had the surgery.
No, actually, we met right before I had my gastric bypass, and we were married a year later.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So I had lost about 130 pounds, 100
Right,
whatever.
Okay. Well, that's kind of nice. So he loves the big you, too.
Yeah.
He may be disappointed at the... Is he disappointed? I mean, there are guys that are...
No way.
Is he black?
I don't know. I just think he loved me. You know,
yeah, that's nice.
I do.
And
I,
what do you think about Playboy? Sorry to cut you off.
That's all right. I know it's hard to ignore. I'm a little flipped out myself.
What did he think? Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's the one that said, "You got to do this." You know, I mean, his reaction. I was actually shocked by his reaction.
They approached you.
Yeah, they called me up. My manager called me and said, "Carney, you're really not, are you sitting down? You're not going to believe this." And I was actually naked, about to take a shower. And I'm like, this is a Playboy omen, because, hello, this is really weird. And I really thought he was, like, you know, pulling my leg. And I couldn't believe it. And Rob, I said, "Honey, you're not going to believe this, but Playboy wants me to pose, and they want to do an article." And he said, "This is, you got to do it, baby, do it." And I said, "You really, what?
Really? I've never said that to any woman about anything ever that didn't involve her making something for me. Like some kind of sandwich or something." Like,
how do you do that?
I'm always suspicious. Is he here? Where is he?
He's right there.
I'm always suspicious when guys do that. Hey, no, and he said, "Babe, you got to do this for us, and for..."
No,
I'm always like,
no, not like that.
He should be. His first word should have been, "Huh?
Where's the remote?"
Should, yeah, you always should have to tell him everything twice. Yeah, first should be a processing. Like, what? What are you talking? And
he
then the
did.
Second should be, huh? Who cares?
He said, "What? Oh my God, that's great, baby!
Really?
You got to do it." Yeah.
And what's your? What's
no,
your
no, Craig. Not what am I hearing you right? Just
no, like,
just,
huh?
Are you speaking?
Yeah.
What?
He was like, "What? Oh my God, that's great! You got to
no,
do it."
No, she still didn't get it.
No. Here,
yeah, I don't.
Here's how it
I'm
goes.
Sorry.
Right? You say the first. You say what? Then
right.
Then you repeat the last thing they say.
Right.
So it goes like this, huh? Yeah, Playboy. and then you get back to whatever. Or whatever the last thing they said was. A movie, grocery, whatever, kid, no. Whatever it is.
He was totally stoked.
Wow.
I was kind of like, wait a minute, you know, I want you to be like jealous here or something, you know. But I think he's just so proud of me.
Well, you know.
He said show it off.
As far as guys go, I mean, it's a sort of, I guess it depends from, you know, what school you come from. Because there's that argument of who wants people looking at their wife naked. And then there's that school that says, hey, that's my wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I guess he's a, that's my wife.
Maybe he is. But I also think that my husband knows what I've been through. And he's a very smart guy. And he can appreciate beauty and everything. But I think that I'm not saying I'm beautiful, but you know what I mean? There's something amazing about somebody that has worked so hard for something. And then this is kind of like the cherry on top, you know?
What about your dad? Did you talk to him about it?
Yeah, he didn't get it.
Your dad's Brian Wilson, by the way, the Beach Boys. You got, oh, we're playing some Beach Boys last week. We got in trouble, actually. But,
he's great.
How is he? Are you guys on good terms?
Yes, we are. We're better than I ever
could. Have you not always been on good terms?
Well, you know, he's had a difficult life, a very miraculous life, and he's probably the strongest person that I've ever known. You know, the ultimate survivor of everyone.
Well, how is he doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great.
Back and forth, and I haven't heard, he hasn't been out there too much lately.
He actually has.
He has.
He's been touring.
I guess that's embarrassing.
Where have you been? No. If you're a true Beach Boy fan.
I guess what I'm saying is I remember about 5 years ago, I was seeing him everywhere.
Right.
For good reasons and for bad reasons. I don't know what it was. He just sort of came out of his exile a little bit.
Right.
And he was all over the place. And I'm not seeing him. Oh, doing the interviews, doing all the stuff now.
He's touring, and
he's
kind of been on this continuous tour for like 4 or 5 years now, and it's great because he walks and runs every day. He's on like strict diets. He's really a very regimented guy, and I admire him for that. He has his battles emotionally and mentally that really just plague him, and it's really, really sad. And all I do is just wish him love and happiness, and he does the best that he can. But he's really come through a lot, and at the end of the day, it's like, look at this guy. He's just this guy who had a difficult childhood, who was seriously gifted and gave this beautiful gift to the world, and he knows it, and he's finally being rewarded for that. I think people are appreciating him more now.
Was it his dad that was sort of this abusive guy or sort of driven showbiz dad? I mean,
yeah, it's just a weird, not a great situation.
The miniseries was on a couple weeks ago. Was that accurate?
Yeah, that was all right. Was
that sort of accurate?
You know,
at least with the dad.
It was in and out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not, you know, I don't want to, I love John Stamos, but it was okay.
What, did he produce it or something?
I believe so.
He just went.
You know what,
play the bongo.
There's so many that have been done, and they're all usually like just a lot of bull crap, and so I don't know.
It's
annoying.
I don't know.
That's my life, you know, and you see all these inconsistencies and just like,
I don't know how. I mean, listen, let's face it. If you read a one-paragraph blurb about
you
in a newspaper, in a local newspaper, three of the things are wrong.
Yeah.
They misquote you.
Of course.
They spell your name wrong.
Right.
They don't mention certain things they should mention. So imagine a two-hour movie about your life. You'd just be watching it going, No.
The phone calls between the family was the classic. Everyone calling each other. Did you see that scene? Oh, God.
And where's your mom? Is she around?
She is. Actually, I just sang with her on my new album. We recorded a song that my Uncle Dennis wrote called Forever, which is just one of my favorite songs. And she sounds great. She's the best person.
Did Dennis pass away?
He did. He drowned in 1983.
Mm.
Okay, good. I thought he had, but then I was trying to think how he wrote the song, and then I was trying to do some math.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he did, unfortunately. It's
very
tragic.
Sad. Alexis?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
I was wondering, I have a vibrator, and I use it sort of often, and I was wondering if, like, my sex life in the future, if it could be affected by that, like if I wouldn't be able to have a normal orgasm.
No.
You're having them with a vibrator?
Yeah.
Here.
That's a normal one.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You're having a normal one.
But it's not induced through normal ways. I mean, the outcome's the same, but it's not brought to her that way.
Am I allowed to interject here?
Of course.
Okay, I love my vibrator. I need you to know that. And I feel like it. Maybe it's not a finger or a tongue or whatever, but you know, it's stimulation.
Make a note of that. Vibrator, not finger, not tongue. Got it.
But it's stimulation.
It's stimulation.
Well, yeah.
In very fast motion.
Listen, it's better than any man could be.
Right.
I mean, you don't
no,
have
it's
the,
not.
Well, you don't have the. Not your husband. He's done. I'm not sure, but big thumbs up. But no, what I'm saying is we have talked to people before on the show that had trouble having an orgasm any other way once they got used to this sensation. Mm-hmm. Just the same as a guy might if he'd got some sort of vibrating.
Some sort of habit.
He has something he could stick himself into, which I'm still working on. But Alexis, mm-hmm. how often do you use it?
Like every day.
Once a day?
Uh-huh.
And do you have a boyfriend?
Yep.
Do you have sex with him?
No, I'm still a virgin.
All right, good.
That's so nice. A very old-fashioned girl.
Yeah.
Just
a destroyer and virgin.
Just auguring herself out with a vibrator every day. But still has his old-fashioned sensibilities.
I think it's healthy.
Yes,
all right.
Of course.
And what do you do with your boyfriend?
We haven't done much. I mean, we just basically made out. I told him I didn't want to have sex. I don't really want to wait till I get married, but I just want to make sure, you know, I'm going to have some money.
Yeah,
maybe.
You're good.
I wonder, you know, do you think this is a good thing? Like the vibrator takes the edge off?
Or does it heat it up?
Well, I don't know. Does it kickstart things or does it quell things a little bit? Hey, Alexis?
Yeah.
Where do you hide it, by the way?
I hide it, I share a room with my sister, and there's, like, a great big box in our room that has a whole bunch of old junk in it.
Yeah.
And there's a hole in the box.
It's called her vagina.
No, it's the SpongeBob stuffed animal and stuff.
How old? I can punch that one up.
But make sure there's a little cyanide tablet there. Buy it when your dad finds it.
Yeah.
Grab that, too.
Actually, my dad isn't around, but always, like, horrified that somebody's going to hear
what?
It and be like, what's that?
What? Well, what? How old is your sister?
She's 7.
4. Oh, 7.
She's never. Her sister probably just lies on the lower bunk, and it's like, how long can someone brush their teeth with an electric toothbrush?
I discovered my mother's vibrator when I was 7.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that scary?
Did you ask her what it was? Or?
No, I stole it, and I figured it out myself.
Oh.
I used one of my mom's spent tampon casings as a telescope when I was a kid, you know, like, picked it out of a garbage can, made the slide whistle noise with it, you know, we're playing a weird
get all the neighborhood kids
thing.
Working on it.
I think I may have found my mom's vibrator too.
No.
I was searching
Freak
through the
out.
Closet looking for someone. You think you had a crappy childhood. At least you had a piano and some money.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I never said I had a crappy childhood.
Cry me a river toots. I'm gonna have to do Playgirl. Emily?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
You're 24. What's up?
Oh, hi. I had a question. If I should tell my job about like the psychological problems I have.
What's your job?
I work at a pizza place.
And what are your psychological problems?
I have manic depression, dissociative identity disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, boy. So you were sexually abused or something growing up? Something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't remember what happened or who did it, but...
But something big happened, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So it's like multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I mean, not unless it manifests itself in any dangerous way, like you making thick crust pizza or something. I hate that goddamn thick crust. All you idiots who order thick crust, you sicken me. Thin crust, where you can bend
it totally.
Like a taco, snap it in half and put it right in your mouth.
But, Emily, just answer their questions honestly. They actually don't have a right to all the information about your mental health. But they have a right to know whether or not you're medically stable and that sort of thing when you're under doctor's care. Just answer their questions honestly.
Well, I mean, they haven't asked me, but...
Well, usually on your...
They don't ask. It's a pizza place. You're fine.
On your application.
I know, but it's like sometimes my other personality comes out at work, and so it's kind of strange, you know, interacting with my coworkers.
What does the other one do?
Well, she's 5, and she's... I don't know. She just...
She's a little girl.
Does little kid things.
Make her in charge of salads or
what's
something.
What's the executive one?
Huh?
What's the executive one like? The main one?
Well, let's see. There's me, and then there's my 5-year-old, and I think there's, like, one other that's, like, a really bad, evil man.
Okay. Oh, an evil man?
Yeah, there's usually
yeah.
other
You can hop genders, huh?
Genders and sexual orientations.
Huh?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to hop genders, why do you have to hop sexual orientations? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're still a chick who thinks he's a dude who likes chicks, then you're still a lesbian.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, he likes
do that math?
Young girls, actually.
You did the Sybil math with
him? He likes young girls?
Yeah.
He likes young girls. Yeah, so why bother being a lesbian?
But
he could be gay.
But Emily goes after the young girls.
Are you going after young girls?
Well, I find them attractive, but I don't...
When you say young, how young? How young?
Huh?
How young?
Six,
like,
seven, five,
whatever age.
Or so. I like them, like, 16.
Oh, 16?
All right.
But
I'd like to party with that guy. He's healthy.
No, he likes, like, really young, like, you know, like, 5 and 6.
Yeah, which
is that how old you were
when Emily
was
abused.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So there we go.
Well, you seeing a psychiatrist?
I have a psychologist.
Well, didn't you say you're bipolar?
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't been officially diagnosed, but she
really?
Suspects that's what I am.
How about a psychiatrist? I think you may need some meds.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I don't have health insurance right now to...
Well, go to a county facility and have your psychologist refer you, because that may help you from flipping from one person to the next and having the post-traumatic stress reactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen, everybody, a couple of days ago, some guy was schizophrenic, walked into his work with a samurai sword and, took out a couple people, a couple of coworkers. So the point is I'm sure he wasn't happy about it.
Right.
I'm sure some voice told him to do it. I'm sure he's sitting somewhere now on his medications, having someone explain to him what he just did and where he's going to have to be for the rest of his life. And it's dangerous. You got to take those meds.
Yes.
You don't want to turn. You don't want to be the old pedophile who feels up the 5-year-olds.
Yeah. You have a
these
condition.
These are medical problems.
Yeah. All right. Carney Wilson in studio tonight. I'm going to take. I was just thinking though, how much do those NRA a-holes, A-holes love the fact that a guy went in and took out a bunch of people with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
That's always their argument. It's always a guy could take a penknife. I could take this letter opener and put it right in your neck right now. What's to stop me from balling up Carney? See Carney's bio here? Let's say I ball this up and just stuff it in your windpipe. That could kill you. There's nothing. I take that mic cord, wrap it around your neck and strangle it. Nothing you could do.
No problem.
No problem. Just the same as me holding an AK-47 or Mac-10. No different. Okay. Let's take a break. Carney here. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carney Wilson in here tonight. Carney.
Hola.
Is currently out in the this month's issue of Playboy. Also has a book out called I'm Still Hungry, which came out in May and is doing quite well, thank you. And a new CD. It's coming out in September, and it's called For the First Time, and some possible stuff with Wilson Phillips. Maybe reunion.
And
I'm a judge.
Yeah, there's a reunion. I'm a judge on Fame.
Oh, yeah.
That's really fun.
Well, Adam loves that judging stuff.
I was eating lunch with someone today saying that's my dream.
that's my dream.
Really?
Well, just in general, just sitting back and judging people and getting paid.
And leaving immediately. Arriving,
right.
Working for an hour, and leaving immediately.
I did I did Star Search. I was like the guest guy on Star Search.
Did you like it?
I liked it because it was nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what I love.
Mm-hmm.
The show's live. It starts at 6 o'clock out here and goes to 7 o'clock, and you go home.
When you're called upon for 6 seconds every 10 minutes.
And then once every 12 minutes, someone says, "What do you think?" And someone says, "Hurry!" And you go, "I give the young black kid who tap danced so well, I give him 3 stars. He's the next Ben Vereen." And then everyone starts clapping, and then. And 2 more times they go back to you, and then you leave, and they go, I'm going to need $10,000, a sweatshirt, and a fruit basket. And they're like, yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come again. Thank you. Please come again. And then I go back, and my agent's like, all right, well, you'll not be doing that again. And I'm like, why not? And I'm like, my partner's like, that'll ruin your career if you do that. I'm like, bring on the ruining.
Yeah.
Let's ruin it. Let's ruin it.
I'm having a blast.
Yes. They pay you a bunch of money. You sit there, and everyone tries to entertain you.
I love it. I don't know. You know, this, you kind of get this... I have a fondness for this Harlem and Serena. I don't know if you're just watching this. Just this guy Harlem. He just really is awesome.
I have been watching the show.
Harlem's great.
On all those shows.
I know.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fun.
You a bunch of money, you sit there,
and you
get to just sort of react.
I know.
Because people are, and it's nice to just sort of sit there with your arms folded. It's like the queen is not amused. Like you just, the people are dancing
but
and singing
cut,
their ass off.
They cut out the parts that are really good.
Hmm. Oh, they do?
Yeah, they edit out a lot of my comments. I mean, I'm not like a Simon or whatever, but I really try to be honest. And they, of course, because of time and TV, they have to edit out a lot of stuff. And I say stuff like, you know, because Debbie Allen loves all of them equally. Debbie's the one that found them all. So she loves everyone, and she hates it when we say anything bad. And it's not that we're being negative. We're just being honest and giving constructive criticism. And so I said, you know what? They could fart, and you would think it was beautiful. And they cut that out.
Oh, see, that's why you got to do the
live.
Star Search thing. It's got to be live.
Yeah,
you go nuts.
Right.
You just start yelling the N-word over and over and over again, and there's nothing they could do about it. Just go nuts. You pull your penis out. You start talking. I would pull my penis out.
I'd be in big trouble.
Is that talking through your penis or to your penis?
It's not I. It's not
yeah,
I.
It's a great
N-word. N-word. All right. Now, where were we?
Right here.
Oh, yeah. Who, bigger pain in the ass, just off the top of your head? Debbie Allen, Felicia Rashad. Quick. Who would you rather? Who's a bigger pain
I'm
in the ass?
I'm the fifth.
Debbie Allen's got to be. There's nothing worse than Debbie Allen. And the only thing worse than Debbie Allen could be Felicia Rashad.
You're terrible.
There's nothing worse than proud women.
There's something,
this is going to sound racist. Somehow the proud black woman in her 50s drives me insane.
You're totally threatened.
I don't know what you mean by proud.
It's Debbie Allen speaks like you're hanging on every word she says. Yeah. Felicia Rashad does the exact same thing. They sit there. They're just blowhards.
You don't like blowhards, huh?
Yeah.
I don't really care like what she has to say. I just hate her, no, I do not at all. I appreciate her talent.
Yeah, please.
I do.
Who cares?
She totally did a little dancing
40 years ago. You know Debbie Allen's a blowhard though, right? She drives you nuts. Whenever she starts talking about pride, it'll drive you nuts.
Well, I'm not into that. I just like when she goes, her thing she does. She makes me laugh.
Blow her. Heather?
Yeah?
She'll be on tomorrow night. I'll be sucking up to her. You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. And my aunt mentally and physically abuses my 8-year-old cousin, and now my cousin is being put into a special hospital because of my aunt's behavior. Mm. Is there anything I can do about this?
Wow.
What kind of special hospital?
You mean a psychiatric hospital?
Yeah, the doctors have literally pronounced her crazy.
You're the aunt or the child?
The child.
Oh.
I don't know if they've pronounced you crazy, but I think they use another word like wacko or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's a horrible thing. Is this your mom's sister?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, how's your mom doing?
She's fine, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because usually, you know, if they came from the same place, your mom's going to have a couple of issues, too.
No, she's all right.
No, she raised you well? She didn't abuse you?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. And so maybe the aunt has a condition, you know, maybe. You know what I mean? She's into drugs or something like that.
Yeah.
Is she a drug addict?
Well, I don't think she is.
All right, Heather, but your question is what you can do for your cousin. Yeah. Not a heck of a lot, just to sort of be there and support her. If they ask for family involvement and treatment, get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll be visiting hours
at the hospital.
But you can't really do anything about her condition, unfortunately. Okay. And she's in good hands, she's being treated, that's the best you can hope for.
But it's good that you're, you know, reaching out like this and trying to do something.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, good times,
though,
right?
Good luck.
Florida.
Yeah.
All right,
Florida.
That's oh, Florida.
Good luck.
Oh, my God. You know what you have to do in order to get your kid taken away from you in Florida? You have to light him on fire
in front of a cop station
and then put him out with your own urine.
That's the only way because she was committed.
Florida is so debaucherous. It's turning into just a zoo over there. When I'm in charge, we're going to Florida will become a penal colony. We'll put a fence around it. It's going to be like Devil's Island.
Well,
it's like a French Guyana.
We'll just take a big channel, you know, and cut it off from the continent, put a moat there, basically.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. See? That's good.
It's just one connection.
Perfect.
On one side.
Right. I'm going to give 48 hours for the righteous and the elderly to leave, and then that's it. Then the moat digging begins.
There you go.
Oh, we'll go back in 50 years. There'll be a 1,000 Waffle Houses on every corner.
Oh.
There'll be like 70-story Waffle Houses with no elevator. Yeah, it'll be great. I really started giving Florida some thought, and I started thinking about alligators, and I started thinking about, you know, people would go, I always knew people from Florida, and they'd go, you ought to see the roaches in Florida. And then they go,
bugs.
The roach, they got snakes there. Florida's got, and they start talking about how everything just gets bigger and meaner and uglier and scarier. And then I thought, then I started hearing about all the people from Florida, and I thought, everything over there just gets big and ugly and mean. And then I thought, we got to cut Florida off. It's polluting the rest of the country. And every time you hear some crazy story about a woman cut her husband's testicles off, put them in a crossbow, and fired them across a river. She lives in, and you said Florida?
Yeah, Florida.
When you start thinking about where...
Hurricanes.
Where did the terrorists do their flight training? Where's anything? Where's the fugitives? Yeah. Where they end up? Where they come from? Florida. It's all Florida. It's the first place you look for any troublemakers. Go to Florida. Jason?
Yeah.
You're... What are you, 19. What's up?
Well, I've been going out with my girlfriend now for about 4 months, and she told me she was pregnant about a week after we started going out.
Seems a little late. I mean,
premature.
No, I'm saying with his dialect, I'd have it more 3 days.
3 days pregnant.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm saying it sounds a little late. But anyway, you guys old-fashioned waited a week.
Let me understand this. You had sex, and a week later she claimed to be pregnant?
Well, yeah, but she said she don't know if it's for sure mine, and I don't want to break up with her. Because if it is mine, then, you know, I don't want to leave the baby in between.
All right, well, here's what you do. The probability of it being used, if your dates are yours, rather, if your dates are right, is probably awfully slim.
Right? That she would know she was pregnant
a week later,
within a
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
Well, you guys had sex on the first date?
Second day.
All right. Were you driving an 18-wheeler?
No.
17-wheeler?
No.
16?
U-Haul?
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
I think that was a bogus call.
Oh, absolutely.
I think totally.
Absolutely. That's why he was so...
Yeah, he was screwed up with his... I think we screwed him up with his dates because he really... Here's the thing. It's going to take a couple of weeks, usually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you got to say we had a date, and then like 3 weeks later, she said, but you, within a week after you met her kind of thing.
It's not really possible.
You know what he sounded like? I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but you remember that song, The Streak? Here they call him The Streak. Woo!
Yeah.
Ray Charles?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Wait, I'll figure that out.
I don't remember that song.
Oh, The Streak.
The Streak. I think of The Stroke. What's that guy's name?
The Streak.
Billy Squire. The Streak. I don't know. I know The Stroke.
The Streak.
The Streak.
Big novelty song.
Yeah.
Big novelty song. Yeah. They would interview a guy.
Hey, who did that?
The Action News Bureau. I'm going to figure out who did that. That's the same guy did...
My husband is mouthing something. He knows the answer.
He
I don't
knows
know.
The Streak, right?
He knows.
Yes, they call him The Streak. Woo! Look at that. Yeah. Same guy sung Ahab the Arab. Ray Stevens.
Oh, is that right, Ray Stevens?
Yeah. Same guy sung, Everything is Beautiful.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's the guy's got a lot of range. He sings Everything is Beautiful in some way, and he sings Ahab the Arab and Guitar Zan.
Guitar Zan was his too?
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway. All right, I don't want to digress.
Whatever.
Kim?
Whatever.
We got to get to Guitar Zan. We got to get.
Guitar Zan's a hot song.
Hey, Anderson, come on.
Anderson never heard of Guitar Zan. Kim?
Yeah, this is Kim.
You're 25.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Hi, Kim.
It's
Hello.
Like, here's why, here's all. You can't blame Anderson or Terno Komitara or Anne for not hearing of these people, because just like you don't know who Count Basie is or Ray
Sinatra.
You wouldn't know any of those names,
no,
right?
No.
Okay, so they couldn't know anybody before they were born.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know those names. Kim?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up?
I'm calling because I'm just curious what you guys think. Okay, I'm 25. I'm cute. I mean, I'm not a model, but I get hit on quite a bit. I'm a virgin, and I'm not exactly trying to be.
You're fat.
Drew, please. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
What do you do for work?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What kind of work do you do? What do you do for a living?
All right. I've had an ass full of her.
That, she's annoying. What was the question?
She wants to know why she's still a virgin without, even though she's not trying to be a virgin.
We got to take a break.
Yeah.
Because she's boring?
Yeah. Carney's mad.
Sorry.
Shouldn't like these hot chicks who could model. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to go find the best of Ray Stevens.
Yes.
You're going to listen to Guitar Zan. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll get back with Kim when we come back. But, Kim, you're going to need to pick up the pace a little there, cha-cha. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carney Wilson is in our studio tonight. Carney can be seen on Star Search. No, wait a minute. Fame. Yeah. And also in Playboy, and also has her book, which is I'm Still Hungry, and new CD coming out in September. And there is going to be a Wilson Phillips reunion.
I can't even keep track. There's so many things.
I like that Wilson Phillips. I got to tell you.
Thank you.
It's not dude music per se, but my roommate had the CD, and like, unless he had the CD, Ralph had the CD. Ralph, K-Rock's Ralph had it. It was my roommate. That'd be 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to it.
That's cool.
It's inspirational music.
Thank you.
Got you going. Got my day started with old Wilson Phillips in 1994.
When you were on the TV show, who were you on with? I can't remember who was there with you.
Which my talk show?
When you were on our TV show.
Oh, wasn't it my sister Wendy?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was Wendy.
Okay. I think it was.
That was fun.
Kim?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
All right, so you're virgin.
Yes.
And you're 25, you're attractive.
Yeah.
Guys ask you out.
And we are going
to... Yeah, they asked me out. I got hit on tonight. I get hit on all the time.
Yeah. Why are you a virgin?
I don't know. I was calling to see if you guys could ask me some key questions to help me figure that out.
All righty.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a paralegal.
Paralegal. And did you come out to Hollywood, or were you born out here?
And no, I came out here.
To do what?
Basically, I had gone to school in the Midwest, and I lived there for a little while, and it just wasn't cutting it for me. I wasn't having the Midwest. I didn't grow up there.
So where did you grow up?
In Texas.
All right, so you didn't come out here to be an actress or anything?
No, I did not.
And so you're not a religious person, per se?
I'm not religious. I consider myself spiritual.
So you're just an attractive person whose vagina slipped through the sofa crack of life. And never was filled by a penis.
It has not been, no.
No, we got that part of it.
Lovely.
But the slipping, I just mean,
what about your parents? I mean, what about that kind of influence in your life? Have they persuaded you or dissuaded? Like, what's up with that?
No, my parents are, I mean, they're very affectionate with each other. They have a good relationship. They've been married for a long time.
Were you at one time trying not to lose your virginity?
No, not really. Never.
You do you, okay, so you're good to go.
You had a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
You ever had a boyfriend?
Yes, I have. Not for a very long period of time though. Not for, you know, because I wasn't ready to have sex.
Okay. So what's missing here?
I think she's afraid.
The story isn't fitting. It's not hanging together.
Your parents are good, no one abused you. Did your dad ever cheat on your mom? You walk in and see him having sex in a weird position.
Not that I know of. I mean, I know that they had sex in front of me before.
Whoa.
They did?
Whoa.
When I was younger, I mean,
When it has the greatest impact on you, what happened?
I remember them having sex it was always like when we were on trips, like in hotel rooms, a couple of times, like when I was maybe like 11 and 12.
Ooh. Wow. Wow.
Wow. I'm going to just fill that room with vomit and fecal matter.
This is really...
I just have your parents out of both ends really? Simultaneously until I float it out of the top, like blow out of the vent hole matter. Above the toilet.
Just to get out of there?
Yeah, float it to safety.
Kim, that means your family had some really serious boundary problems.
Well, were you hearing it through the wall in the next room?
No, I was in the same room.
All right, I'm putting her on hold because her connection's so bad. First off, I want some credit for saying, talking
good.
About the parents getting it on.
You're here.
Secondly, I'll tell you, nobody's more casual about interesting insights and answers than our callers.
I know. Well, it's because they don't understand the impact it's had. To them, that's just their life.
I know, but right. if our callers went to a psychic and the psychic said, did you have a dog who was named Chip Chip Chipperoo?
Right.
Who died because a neighbor named Butch put an M80 up his ass. They go, well, I had a dog named Chip Chip Chipperoo, but the neighbor, well, his nickname was Butch. I mean, his Christian name was Steve, but yeah, he died with an M80 up his ass. But anyway,
that would be our call.
They would breeze right past it.
We come upon stuff that...
And she's like, not really. Well, they did used to get it on when we were on the road, and I was 12.
Is that really weird, though?
It's pretty weird.
That's
not only
serious.
Is it weird, but it just shows the kind of people your parents were.
Exactly. They don't. The boundaries are really bad.
That's why I brought up the parents. I had a weird feeling about
it. Well, of course. Always, that's that.
Smart money on the parents. All right, so, Kim, how about a little therapy?
You would discover more about your family that you think is so loving and perfect if you were in a therapeutic relationship where you could look at things realistically and objectively.
And
things that you don't think are any problem, like them having sex in front of you, all kinds of things would start emerging that you'd be able to sort of reintegrate in a new way and be able then to go out and have a real relationship of your own.
Yeah, and also, you know, you can't just have a boyfriend and F the guy. You know what I'm, what I'm saying?
I know. That's kind of the problem. It's like I'd like to be close and in love with someone, but then at the same time...
The problem
time,
is a new trajectory could be established of hypersexuality as soon as this stuff emerges.
The opposite way.
So there's weird intimacy things going on here. You got to look at it. And first, start with the family and stop defending them. Beat them up like I do verbally. Let's talk to Sarah, who's 14. Sarah?
Hello.
What's up?
Hi, I've been seeing this guy for about, I haven't really been seeing him. I've gone to concerts and I see him all the time. And I've always thought of him as a friend. And one night he started hitting on me and I asked him if he had a girlfriend and he avoided the subject completely. And we ended up making out and everything and we almost had sex, but we didn't. And I found out like a week later that he had a girlfriend and he had had a girlfriend for about 8 months, and I wanted to know if I should tell his girlfriend about...
Sarah, how old is this guy?
This guy is 20.
Okay, you're 14.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this. A 20-year-old that would do this with you is a bad guy, and bad guys treat people badly in relationships.
Okay.
And this girlfriend of his seems to need a bad guy. Has nothing to do with you. You hopefully will learn something about dating guys that are a lot older than you and who are exploitative and who are bad guys. You stay away from them. You stay away from their life. You stay away from their girlfriend. You stay away from all aspects of it.
Okay.
Count this as a learning experience. It's a bad person. He made you feel like he was a good guy. He made you feel all kinds of things, but that wasn't real.
Yeah. It's good he didn't have sex with him.
Yeah, he just wanted to have sex.
Why didn't you have sex with him?
Because we didn't have a condom.
Yeah, right. And she has a shred of instinct.
What did you, how far did you get with him?
Not very far, because we were just making out and everything, and then we almost did, and then I asked him if he had a condom, and he said no, and so...
We guarantee you this wasn't the first time he cheated on his girlfriend.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I know he didn't, because I talked to other people.
What are you doing? You're 14. What are you, in the ninth grade?
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Do you plan to date guys who should be in their second or third year of college?
Well, no, it's just... Because, I didn't think about it, really.
All right, there's your first mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you find yourself some nice, find some cool ninth grader. Don't you have any cool ninth grade dudes? When I was in ninth grade, there were cool dudes.
Yeah, but I want to know if I should tell his girlfriend, because I know I'm not
Sarah?
The only girl.
Sarah?
Yeah, no. Listen, just, look.
Did I say stay away
first
from
First off, how do you know the guy's girlfriend?
Well, because, I don't know her personally. but
look, we know you're hurt. We know you're angry. Do not act it out. Just.
Well, how old's this guy's girlfriend?
I have no idea.
You don't know. First off, she may take a swing at you. Secondly, what if she's 23 and she's working at some Bed Bath and Beyond? She's on a cigarette break and she beats the crap out of you.
Don't get into that triangle. That happened to me.
Same thing happened to me when I was 14.
Some chick
so
beat you up.
Stay away from it all. Like, leave her alone.
Yes.
It's a learning experience.
I don't even know who she is.
Stay away from this guy and everything about him.
She might take a swing at you, goofball. All right, listen. And listen, Miss Chaos Queen, why don't you cool your jets a little bit, would you?
All right?
Jesus Christ, you're 14.
All right.
Yeah, funny.
All right. She said, listen, I'll make a couple of predictions. A, she's going to tell this girl. B, she's going to be pregnant or have syphilis in the next 45 minutes. Carney Wilson here. That's outside. Over-under is 33 minutes. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. But it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carney Wilson is our guest tonight. Carney's got a book out.
Hattie.
Carney is going to have a CD out in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Wilson Phillips may get back together and is going to get back together. Do some touring?
Yeah, next year.
And also, now, were you guys fighting when you broke up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
It's hard to be in a group.
Especially chicks.
Oh, God. We can be pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Considering, I think we always had this thing where we had group meetings and talk about things. You know, it was different than the old rock and roll days where people just, you know.
Got loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what we did.
Yeah. And what, I mean, was it tough back then? You were the fat one back then.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And
how sweet.
If that was true. That's got to bring up feelings. That's got to suck, you know?
Was it tough? It was hard at times, yeah.
Was there stuff you didn't even know you were feeling, maybe?
Maybe.
It had to, there had to be a lot of dynamics rolling around.
Definitely.
There.
But then again, I grew up with Wendy and Chyna, and I was always fat even before we had a group. So I knew going into it that I was the big one. But it was more like... I think my personality was what people were attracted to, you know?
Right.
And, it was hard. I mean, I all the gay men just loved me. It was just like, Carney, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I felt like I had my little fan base. Yeah. I was fine with that, but it's not easy to stand next to the two of them. They're gorgeous. And so I kind of learned to be strong in other areas, you know?
Right.
Looks on everything.
No.
And not like I'm ugly. I mean...
No, nothing wrong.
I was always attractive.
Yeah, you were. But, I mean, let's face it, 300 pounds in this society is a deal breaker for a lot of guys.
Well, I wasn't 300 pounds with Wilson Phillips. I started out at about 180, and I got up to about 230.
Oh, yeah.
And then after we broke up, I put on about 70 pounds.
You got depressed?
Yeah, actually, I was. I was devastated.
Did you guys make enough money doing that?
I blew it all.
Really?
That was part of it. That was part of the accumulation and, like, realizing one day.
How'd you blow it all?
I just spent it on just not, like, jewelry and stupid things.
Yeah.
Stupid things. Big homes, you know, million-dollar homes, buying everyone dinner. And I mean, I love to give away. I love to buy things for people. So I didn't save. I wasn't smart. I was young.
Because you guys made a lot of money for a few years there, right?
We did, yeah. Yeah, I probably spent about, I don't know, a few million dollars.
Mm.
You know, I learned a lot, though. Mm. Oh, boy, I've learned a lot.
Do you still, now, is there still money coming in
from
Wilson Phillips?
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't mean in general. I just meant...
Like royalties and stuff?
Yeah, royalties.
Yeah.
I still hear songs. I hear Wilson Phillips on the radio once in a while.
Yes.
All right. Well, good. A little reunion. And when you do the reunion, it will have been how many years?
Oh, gosh. 12 years.
12 years?
12
really?
12 years. I know. I feel ancient now. People are like, when I was four, I listened to your music. I'm like, oh, no, don't even say that. No,
yeah,
I mean.
Dr. Drew has that, too. Like, yeah, the guy's calling like, yeah, I'm 70. I got one foot in the grave. I have four great-grandchildren. When I was in junior high, I was a big fan of the show. Drew, you told me to stay away from opium and
alcohol.
The hadn't invented cocaine yet. All right, let's talk to is that Kyle?
Yes.
Kyle, you're 17.
Yes.
What's up?
I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 4 months.
Uh-oh. Sounds like one of your fans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she wants me to have sex with her before we go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just graduated this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to have sex before we go to college and get separated because she's going to Michigan and I'm staying here in Oklahoma.
She's going to Michigan.
I'm staying here at
Is this an attempt to try to cling this relationship together? Is that what that's about?
I don't have a clue.
I get that.
Are you going to college in Oklahoma?
No, I haven't started yet, but I'm supposed to start in about August the 15th, I believe.
So you feel pressured?
What's he starting?
A little bit. I mean, I want to wait until I find, you know, the right somebody and then get married.
You going to junior college, son?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Shocking. It's all coming into focus now.
Slowly, though.
Okay,
He doesn't
Kyle.
Quite sound like junior college material.
No, he sounds like junior college material. Like he really does, he sounds like he's 11.
Yeah.
Like, he has the cadence. Like,
yeah.
She is going to go to Michigan, but yeah. I'm going to, not this last year.
Right.
Always when people drive me nuts, too. Just say last year. Don't say this last year. It's like, I think you're going to say this year. We're engaged
so
to be married.
He wants to wait till marriage. Wait till marriage. She's trying to cling this thing, you know, try to find a way to galvanize this relationship. Mm. Means to stick it
Maybe
together.
I think she's trying to jumpstart Kyle.
Maybe
Kyle,
but she's moving away right afterwards.
Kyle, what? Why do you sound so young?
I don't know. Most of my childhood is a blur. I can't really remember anything.
Why? Why?
I don't know. It's just I don't have a clue. I don't remember anything from when I was 8 below.
Do you think you have some sort of psychiatric disorder?
I've been diagnosed with severe schizophrenia.
Okay.
Oh,
there you go.
And you don't want to have sex? Just is it a little bit scary? You don't feel like you're ready for it?
You're insane.
True, please.
No, I just don't really want to have sex with
That's fine.
This
That's
girl.
All good.
All right. All right, good.
That's okay.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
fine.
Right.
Are you on a bunch of meds?
Yes.
All right, that can make him not want to have sex.
I see. Oh, I can do that. Yeah. All right. So, Kyle, go to junior college,
and stay focused.
I guarantee
on that.
You'll be the smartest non-Asian in that school. I guarantee it.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. What's that?
Asians.
Oh, man, they don't have them over there. Do you guys have Asians over there?
Yes, actually, we have quite a few.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Would you bring them in for something, or are they just there?
We have a bunch of Mexicans, too.
Oh, Mexicans. Well, they're a dime a dozen, but I'm talking about Asians. Aye! Huh? All right. I'm rebuilding a house. I got a house. I got about 10 my Latin brothers over there doing work every day. Little Mexican soap has broken out. Roberto and Flavio aren't getting along.
No.
Yeah. And they're like, Roberto doesn't want to work anymore. Flavio's going to be there. And Flavio's
What's
pissed
happened?
At Roberto.
Sounds and like women.
They got like a retarded machismo thing that goes on over there. And, you know, Flavio doesn't want Roberto telling them what to do. And Roberto thinks he's in charge and doesn't like Flavio's. He's insolent, you know, and he's just not listening to him. And then I come in, and I'm like, I can't speak Spanish, so I'm like, hey, Flavio, Roberto's good. He's good, and you guys should be good.
Compadres.
Compadres. You, Flavio and Roberto... Compadre on the jobo. Okay, the jefe. Just give me $10 or something and be nice. Or like I can't
just
explain
say,
to him.
Just say everybody's okay. It's work together.
Yeah, like that's
right.
They don't understand.
That's what you should
that.
Say.
Oh, I'm trying to tell these guys I got a good thing going and everything. Mm-hmm. They're arguing with each other. It's that I can't. I need a translator and stuff. They only know enough English to tell me they don't like each other, but they can't quite explain. And all right, that's all great. What's the soap going on, Ashley? Ashley. All right, Ashley is not there. Let's talk to Sarah.
Hey, how's it going?
Sarah, 21. What's up?
Yeah. I'm just calling because I'm in a long-distance relationship at the moment, and I'm just looking for, like, some creative ideas to kind of keep things going because it's been, like, 6 months, and we've both not, like, had enough funds going on to get him over here and get him settled and everything.
Where is he?
He's in Ireland at the moment.
He is. Is that where he lives?
Yeah, that's where he's born.
How old is he?
He's 20. Yeah. Sorry, I made a mistake earlier. I accidentally said he was 21, but he's 22.
How did you meet him?
I met him through work, actually. I went over there for a couple of years, and we met, and we started dating. So we're going out for, like, a year and a half, almost 2 years, whenever I moved over here.
And when did you move over here?
Huh?
How long ago did you move over here?
About 6 months ago.
Where do you work that you get to go somewhere, like, 18? Do you get to go to Ireland for a couple of years?
My dad's a bit crazy. He comes up with these ideas, like, oh, let's move to Ireland. And then it was like...
Oh, your dad's
with your family.
And my dad was like, oh, let's move to Hollywood. So I was like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, so you went there with your family.
Yeah, with my dad, yeah.
And this guy said he was going to relocate his life in Hollywood?
Yeah, he loves it over here. He's already been over here.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, then these guys were together for a couple of years when she was in Europe. So,
yeah.
I mean, what's the deal?
I don't know. It's just like it seems like everything's kind of...
fading away.
Yeah, not really fading away, but, like, everything's kind of, like, at a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't understand why he can't get over here.
Right, that's what I'm trying to figure out. There you go.
We're both poor bastards.
Well, listen. You can go on the Internet and get a one-way ticket almost anywhere for a couple $100 these days. It's no big deal.
Yeah, then it's, like, getting him settled and getting him a work visa and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, he doesn't want to do that.
He doesn't sound like he's dying to see
it. He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, He's finding
excuses not to do these things.
Yeah, to get us, like, together over here, I would either have to find him a sponsorship with a company that can prove that nobody else in the area can do the job.
No.
Or get married to him.
No, he could come out here for 6 months before anyone said anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he really wanted to be here.
Wait, but Sarah, he doesn't want to come here. That's not funny.
Right.
It's the reality.
Nah.
Yeah.
Maybe you need someone like to point that out to you. Really,
yeah.
You know,
he doesn't want to come out here.
Except
he's making excuses.
Could be.
Somebody who really wants to come here would be here already.
Wait a minute. I don't want to be here.
He's already come out here, and I've already gone out there and stuff. It's just like...
How long ago was he out here?
He was out here, I think it was back in December, and then I went over there back in January.
Yeah, it's all 6 months ago.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't feel like that long, but...
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Too long. I'm going to tell him to haul his ass over here pretty much.
Yeah, he would be here if he were...
Yeah.
All right, no, wait a minute. Hold on a second. First off, Sarah's got a weird...
Yeah, I'm going to haul his ass over here.
She's got a weird, like, dismissive rap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you start saying, like, well, look, if he wanted to come out here, he could just come out here. Yeah, yeah. She just like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a weird sort of, yeah, yeah.
Well, but yeah, I'll get him to get his ass out here.
No, but it's a weird, like, I'm not listening to reality.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Now, on the other hand, I can remain open-minded about it a little bit. I got a couple more questions. So, let's just make sure we're all on the same page.
Okay.
You go out to Ireland for work, except for...
Your dad's
taking you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Right.
So then you meet up with this guy, and you're out there for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are boyfriend and girlfriend for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
For sure.
Yes.
Okay, that leads us up to about a year ago?
About half a year ago.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
Then you guys, so then you come back, and immediately he comes out to see you.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, or close to immediately after that, you go out to Ireland to see him.
Uh-huh.
Now it's been 6 months and change.
What you're describing is a real typical pattern of what happens when somebody goes away to school.
Right.
The one boyfriend follows out,
yes.
Shows up, she comes home first holiday, and then it's over.
Then it fades out. It's been over 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's feeling like the bloom is off the rose a little bit here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, would you have any advice as to kind of get anything back on track, or just like wait out and see how things go for another month or
two? No, you're not following.
I'm not. We're not also sure there's something to put back on track.
It's just over.
It doesn't mean that there wasn't something at one point.
Right.
But do you guys even talk about where your relationship stands? Like any like serious questions like that? I mean, do you talk about this with him?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was on the phone with him, and he kind of hinted at like kids and stuff like that. He kind of made a Freudian slip and said, you know, we were talking about kids and stuff. We're talking about, you know, like discipline and what we do with them and stuff. And he goes, oh, yeah. And then we'd go and take them and do this. We would do this. And
she wants to hear, like almost
yes,
a fantasy.
Sarah, you're reaching.
Yeah.
You're way ahead of yourself there.
All right. So, Sarah, here's the deal.
You got to have the conversation in reality where you say, hey, what are we going to have? Can we continue this relationship or not?
Right.
Is it over? Are you seeing other people?
I'm not really seeing other people.
Sarah. That's what you say to him. Sarah.
All right.
Sarah's more detached than the schizophrenic kid we were talking to.
No, Sarah's inner monologue is so loud that she can't have a dialogue
right.
with
yeah.
other people.
She's got a four-leaf clover stuck in the middle of her...
Whoa.
Yeah, tuchus, which is where she hears from, her hear hole.
She has to call him and have a very clear and direct conversation.
Yeah. Here's what I would do. First off, she's never going to do this, but... Don't call him and see how long it takes him to call her.
There you
go.
And
an experiment.
And see what he does to come out here.
Well,
Ask
if he's...
You can't have a conversation with Sarah. Do you really think you can have a conversation?
I know it won't work. We're curious to hear if she calls him every time or not.
Sarah?
Yes?
What happens if you don't call him?
If I don't call him, he'll email me or call me on the weekend.
Okay. So here's the deal. You have to have a straight conversation with him about when he's coming.
And you have to listen to what he says and accept it.
And if he's not coming, then the relationship's over.
Yeah.
All right, baby doll.
No, not yet. Yes, that's it. That's it.
All right.
That's
all right.
Advice. Thank you, guys.
It's all good. You got dad's got money. You're living in Hollywood. You're fine.
Oof. Whoa.
Yeah, you wonder where people get... How do people get that rap?
Where they don't listen to reality?
Your wife's got a little bit. And we got to talk to her about that.
Where they don't hear things?
Yeah, they just... Yeah. Denial?
What we were talking about before?
What it is
degree.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has... I mean, everyone wishes... Everyone has an idea for how their life should work out, who they should like, who should like them, what they should get paid, all that kind
of
stuff.
Right.
But most people are willing to listen to the reality part that says, you know what, this person doesn't like you. I know that's part of your... You know, if you were to sit down and write a movie, they would be in love with you, but you can't write this movie. But how do people get to that point where they're able to sort of steamroll past all the
Everything.
Warning signs? Yes.
That's a certain psychology.
It's a good way to be.
So.
It is. You're happy as hell. Everyone else wants to kill you, but you're happy? Aren't you happy?
It's a certain kind of narcissism.
She thinks she has a boyfriend in Ireland.
Yeah.
But is there some... core part of them that
of
believes.
Well, it was one of my patients said to me, I was admitting him for a severe addiction, and he goes, I don't have problems. Someone else in my life's got the problem. They have a problem with how I behave, but not, I don't care.
That's a good way to be. Ashley?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, like, here's the thing. Okay, so I used to do, like, a lot of meth. Like, it wasn't over a long period of time or anything. Over, like, maybe 5 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, pretty concentrated, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot in that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and, like a lot of things are happening, and I don't know if they're related to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get my period anymore, and, like, I used to take these pills that the doctor gave me. Like, she gave them to me, like, twice, like, two different pills to, like, so it's, like, restart it or something.
Right, progesterone, uh-huh.
And it did it once. It like the first time it worked, but then like.
Are you very underweight?
Am I very no? Like I mean I'm small, but I'm not under. Well, like.
How much do you weigh?
Time I was, but now I'm not. Huh?
How much do you weigh?
I think like 116.
Are you doing any drugs right now?
Right now.
Not right this second, but are you.
Oh.
Are you
I'm saying we have the world's dumbest college. Are you underweight?
Like,
well, no, like, well, yeah, well, now, right now, I mean, yeah, all right. How tall are you, baby doll?
I think like 5'4".
5'4", yeah, 116. Well, you're pretty light there.
then.
But, like, okay, I'm not on any drugs right now, and I haven't been for a while.
All right.
Well, can I finish telling my story?
Yep.
Okay, so I took those pills that the doctor gave me, right? And I only got them, I got my period that one time after the month, and she's like, oh, it'll, you know, keep happening. And I didn't keep getting it, and I can't go on birth control because I smoke cigarettes, and they said that's really bad or something.
Well,
so I don't want to do that, but I don't really know what to do.
Well, you're not going to have your period then.
Never?
Well, you will eventually, but you got to gain some weight. You got to stop smoking cigarettes. They can try kickstarting you a few more times. You need to have an evaluation now to see exactly what's going on. It might be polycystic ovarian disease, might be hypothalamic pituitary dysfunction. There's a lot of different things it could be.
You could still get pregnant, though, right?
You can still get pregnant. Mm-hmm. But it's not an uncommon nor a serious thing, but something that needs a little more evaluation.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Ashley?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right, you can get pregnant still, right?
Yes. I'll be Ashley.
Ashley? Did her phone? I think she's having phone difficulty. I think she's having head and phone difficulty. All right. Well, let's take a break. A good time to take a little break. Oh, my God.
Goodness.
Listen, let me just give a speech real quick about drugs here. I give it about once every 6 months, which is, as a society, we've just labeled all drugs evil and nobody can do drugs and it ruins your life and so on and so forth. Here's the deal. Some people... No, drugs aren't good for anybody, but they don't have the effect on some people as they do on others. Mm-hmm. Some people are stupid. If you're stupid and you do a lot of drugs, mm-hmm. you're going to become retarded. Like, you're going to go from... Here's the problem, everybody. Everybody ain't a genius. They just ain't. I got a 91 IQ. Mm-hmm. I took an IQ test 3 weeks ago, and I got 91. If I got a 91, you guys are in the 30s. maybe high 20s. Or maybe even teens. But here's the thing. Not everyone is that smart. And right. not everyone has the mental horsepower to overcome these amazing obstacles that everyone puts in front of them. And if you're a person who's not the sharpest stick in the shed, not the sharpest tool in the shed,
right.
do not smoke a lot of weed and do a lot of crank and drop a lot of acid, because you now are going to go from junior college and McDonald's to drool trough, living at home, and borderline retarded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it works. People ought to figure it out, but you will knock 10 IQ points off yourself quite easily if you just do a bunch of, smoke a lot of weed and whatever, and especially if you do it in the time when your brain's supposed to grow just a little bit,
yep.
yeah. between age of like 14 and 18.
Developmental.
Yeah, so what you're essentially doing is, here's what you're doing. It's like, you are taking yourself out of the game. It's as if everyone's job was going to be to build a pyramid, and you just broke your leg, and you were a little undersized and not too strong in the first place. Now you're just going to die out in the desert.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just
kind of,
you got nothing now. Here's the problem, though. Stupid people don't respond to people telling them they're stupid. They shouldn't take drugs very well.
Yeah. Right.
Very much. They actually double down with the drugs. Mm. But that's it. Take a good look in the mirror. Hold up your report card next to your head. Take a look at a few of your accomplishments. If you're not too bright, don't smoke the weed. You should be doing the opposite. You should be listening to books on tape and reading stuff on and increasing your vocabulary and listening to classical music.
Leave the drugs to guys like Adam.
Leave the drugs to me and Timothy Leary, the geniuses of society. You see that? Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Good speech.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew.
Nice.
Your coffee is white.
Yeah, white hot.
It's white. No, it's just white.
That's how I like mine.
White in color.
Sweet.
Yeah. You got nothing. You got any coffee in that coffee?
You know what? They didn't make our brand tonight. It's a little watery, a little light.
Yeah. Carney Wilson in here tonight. And she's in Playboy, got a book out, I'm Still Hungry, and going to have a CD out in September.
Thank you.
Lily, also on Fame. Lily?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, recently, when I make out with guys, I I just get the giggles, and I start laughing.
Yeah. Do you giggle when you're nervous?
Oh, I guess that's the case. When it comes down to, like, just me and a guy kissing, I'll just start giggling.
The nurse I work with closely giggles when she hears awful things.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
I have a friend like that, too.
I know what I do. I yawn. It's worse. My aunt and uncle died in a car accident. Am I boring you? All right.
Oh, my.
So I guess giggling and yawning is kind of like just you have a reaction.
Yeah. What are you going to do? If a guy likes you, he'll get through that.
Yeah. Well, he thinks it's him and...
He thinks it's him what? What do you mean?
He goes like, what? What's so funny? Like he's doing something wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mean like when you're kissing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, people, the 18-year-old guys feel insecure and to see a girl starts laughing. Whatever.
Well, you drop your pants and the laughing starts.
Well, I know you had to deal with that for quite some time, but that's what we're talking about.
I had to kill him and make him pay, just like my mom.
Well, I'm thinking like the giggling. Is it like when you first start making out, or is it like when you're like getting like more passionate and like more heated?
I'm sorry, what?
All right, her phone line sucks. Screw her. Here's the thing. This happens from time to time. I think I've been with a girl or two who's giggled. It's sort of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of quaint in a way.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's better than that that weird weird aggressive talk. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you know, like
oh, yeah.
Chicks get their game face on, look like a dude. Like, F me now. You know, I was like, I was gonna. Now I'm weird. Yeah, it's always. I'd much rather have a little coin, a little giggle than that weird sort of weird aggressive chick thing that pops up every once in a while. But it's not like it's got to be one or the other. But guys should get over this. And as you get with one person and stay with one person,
right.
Her comfort level will go up.
Definitely.
All right. Not a real problem. Becca?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been with my guy for about 2 months, and we were starting to consider having sex, but I don't know. It just... Something happened in my last relationship. We got kind of close to it, and then he sort of betrayed me and just kind of left me. Like, he was really sweet.
How'd he, it does sound like her.
Yeah.
How'd he betray you?
Well, he just kind of left me, and then a week later I found out a lot of people knew about what we'd done, and he exaggerated and said we did have sex, but we didn't.
He was getting close to having sex with you, and he cut out?
No.
I mean, the last guy.
Yeah, he wanted to have sex, but I wouldn't have sex with him.
Were you getting close?
Yeah.
And then he cut out?
No, he asked me if I wanted to have sex, and I said no. And then later I found out he told people that we did have sex.
This is like people can't track now.
I know. Yeah. But my statement was, here's what I'm saying. I don't understand him cutting out as you were getting close to that point in your relationship when you were going to have sex. It seems like a bad time to leave.
I'm pretty sure that he, ended it because I wouldn't have sex with him.
Right. But I thought you were getting close to having sex with him.
Yeah, well, we were kind of, messing around, and he, asked me if I wanted to have sex.
All right. Well, anyway. So now you got a new guy.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
He's 15.
15, so he's young.
Yeah.
And you're both young. What grade are you guys going? You going into the 10th grade?
Yeah.
Okay. And is this guy pressuring you?
No, he's totally cool with me not wanting to have sex.
All right.
What's the question?
I do want to have sex with him. It's just that I think, I don't know. I think,
All right, when you do know, that's when you do it. In the meantime, you wait.
You're fine.
Just relax.
Yeah. No hurry.
Take your time.
I have a problem trusting him because of...
Fine, it's appropriate.
The other guy.
Yeah, okay. Listen, hold on. Let me give a quick... message out to all chicks. Not every guy is exactly the same, and because your dad did this doesn't mean your boyfriend's going to do that, because your last boyfriend did this doesn't
and by
mean
way,
this new guy's going to do that.
Because a guy exaggerates to his friends, you shouldn't consider that a huge violation of your trust.
Yeah.
He went to another school, and a week later, people I didn't even like were calling me a slut. They thought I had sex with him, and
he exaggerated his friends.
All right.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, by the way. Yeah. Okay, listen, just get... I don't know. Listen, hey, Becca. Mm-hmm. You're not that big a prize. No one cares.
Yeah.
Oh, please. I don't know. We gotta
she talk 14
for
19?
She's 15.
She's 15.
Okay,
right.
I talked to her for 20 minutes about whether this guy was okay to have sex, and this guy just don't have sex then.
Yes.
Fine. It's weird. It's a weird thing. I think she kind of... I got mad at her at the end because I think she kind of liked the heat around the
drama,
speculation.
The attention,
when is Becca going to have sex? Like, when is Princess Di pregnant? Yeah. She giving birth to a son? Like, who cares? You're 15, you're from Anaheim. You either have sex with a guy or don't. And she didn't have a question either. And I'm sick of everyone with this... well, you know, he got bit by a dog when he was 10, so he can never have a dog. Or she got burnt by her boyfriend when she was 15, so she can never. Why is this an acceptable thing? Why does everyone go, so what? That's no excuse.
Yeah.
You had a guy screw you over? All right.
Move on. This
guy's going to screw you over? Mm-hmm. I mean, why is this an acceptable excuse? How come we're not a little bit tougher on these people? Anytime something happened to someone once, they can be as weird as they want for the rest of their life about stuff that we all just go about and do.
It depends on what it is. It depends on what happens to them.
Yeah, but it's like when people go like, this guy got beaten up by some black guys, so he doesn't like black people anymore. It's it's not an acceptable answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but it's not an acceptable answer. If you get bit by a dog when you're 5, you don't have to be terrified of dogs your entire life.
Yeah.
You can be terrified of that dog. You got beat up by a black guy when you're 10, you don't have to be a racist. If you got burnt by a guy, you don't have to get burnt by all guys. God damn it. Beth?
Hello?
Maybe not the black guy thing. Go ahead. Go ahead, Beth.
Okay.
You're 16.
What?
What's up?
I'm 16, yeah. Okay, so my best friend, we've been best friends for 6 years, and she recently started, like, sleeping with this older guy, and then we live in different towns, and I went to visit her, and I'd met him for the first time, and he was like, hey, nice, and I was like, I was kind of creeped out, but then we got in the car, and she was like, oh my gosh, he wants to have a threesome with us, and so I don't know, I don't want to sleep with a 35-year-old man.
Well, hold on, do you have nice boobs?
What?
Do you have nice
boobs? Shut up, oh my gosh, shut up.
Well, it's germane, I mean...
What?
I mean, it's important to the story.
D.
Your B cup?
D.
Oh, D.
She's totally like smiling. You know, she's hot. She has hot boobs.
Oh, my God. So you're kind of... You're hot then, right? Yeah. And who wanted to have the threesome? Your friend or the guy?
No, the guy.
The grosso.
She's 16 dating a 35-year-old guy. Why are you even around that guy, Beth? I mean, what he's doing, even saying things like that to you, are essentially illegal.
It's true.
Yeah.
I know. And so I don't know what I should do. Should I, like, because we live, like, an hour and a half away from each other. She just moved. So do I, like, go to, and school's out now, so I don't know who to tell. Should I say anything?
Well, do you want to sort of rescue her, get her away from this guy?
Kind of. Like, she's, like, my sister. And
where are her parents?
Like 35. Well, her parents are divorced, and her dad... He just gets really angry at her.
Where's my bourbon?
And she's having sex with this guy.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's probably just because she needs, like, a guy to love her and stuff. And she has a boyfriend, and ugh.
She has a boyfriend.
Yeah. She has a boyfriend, and she's sleeping with a 35-year-old, and she has a 25-year-old in court for statutory rape. It's like she just keeps doing it over and over again.
Wow.
Yeah, so ooh. I don't know. Should I tell someone? Should I tell her parents? Should I tell my parents?
Yes. Just get a drifter to kill her. Let's just clean this mess up once and for all. I mean, can't we?
Terrible.
She's got a guy in court for statutory rape.
Yes.
Her boyfriend is how old?
35.
20.
Shut up, girl.
Oh.
Her boyfriend is 20.
She's sleeping with
And she's sleeping with the 35-year-old.
And a few other 16-year-olds.
Okay, well, so
she needs to be
a mess.
Yeah, she needs to be treated.
She's incredibly chaotic.
It's a mess.
Yes. Hey, Beth?
Yes.
Here's the deal. Don't expect to be able to clean up this mess.
Try to get her to some treatment, some caretaking. Where
do make a couple of phone calls, alert a few of the right people, do what you can, and then cut your losses and move on.
Right, don't assume all the responsibility.
But she will need a treating team to sort of descend upon her and work through this, because this is
This is the first time an actual team would have to rappel down to a patient.
From helicopters, yes.
Just to actually drop in like special forces. All right. She needs the A-team. So, Beth, don't get all caught up in her stuff. And what are you doing with your D-cups? I mean, you got a boyfriend?
No, I don't like to date guys. Too much baggage.
Hold on a second.
There's a whole other area.
Yeah, Beth's got her own thing. And, you know, there's nothing a chick hates more than when she ain't doing nothing. Have someone whose dance card is full, and full. And then it becomes like... She's a slut, and I want to save her. So then it becomes sort of half. It's actually good that you want to save her, but it's not for all the best reasons. What's wrong with guys, Beth?
What's wrong with guys?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I've had a bad experience. If I'm honest, it's basically because none of my friends date. Like, at church, we, like, did this weird thing where everyone's like, oh, let's not date. And so now I'm like, all right, let's not date.
Oh, my God. Everyone. It breaks my heart when God takes the D cups out of the game.
Wait a minute. She's the only one that's kept the pledge, though, it sounds like.
You kept the pledge, huh?
Oh, gosh. Never mind.
All right. So you have a religious or spirituality that you don't want to date. You don't feel it's right at this point.
That's just dating, like saying I'm boyfriend and girlfriend, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either.
Here's the deal. Make some calls. Try to get your friend some help. And then, if she doesn't seek help,
you
realize that she's going this direction and you're going, she's heading toward hell. She's on an express train to hell, and you're sending up to heaven.
And like with any other compulsive self-destructive behaviors, you have to leave. And let them know why you're leaving. And sometimes those losses are the only thing that capture their attention and get through the denial.
And by the way, everybody, I know I spend the whole show telling everyone to tell their family to F off and their friends to F off. But look, when you're 15, 16, 17, somewhere middle of high school, heading to the end of high school, people start going separate directions.
Absolutely.
And if somebody's heading a direction you don't like, that ain't the direction you're going, that's fine. You were friends for 5 years. Now you don't approve of what they do, and it's okay to judge. I mean, you know, if your best friend is beating on his wife, or your best friend is hooking
or doing drugs
or doing something that you deem not a good thing, you can tell them, you can try to get them to some help, but after that, you go the other way. That's fine.
That's true.
We'll be back. Everybody, love line. I'm Adam. Carney Wilson in here tonight. Carney has got a book out, got a CD coming out, and a couple of few sometime in September. Got a Wilson Phillips reunion coming up, and is also hosting
a judge on Fame, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where do you shoot that?
At the Hollywood Center Studios.
Huh.
Oh. They shoot. We used to shoot there, right, Drew?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Man show shot there and a love line. Everything I've done has been there. That'll bury me there, Drew. Scott?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
You talking into a phone?
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
All right. What's up?
Not much.
All right. Why'd you call?
I'm kind of in love with my best friend. Her name's Allison. We've been best friends for a year, and I've had more than, like, friendship feelings for, like, 6 months.
Why are you telling us her name?
Did you want her to hear that?
Liar, whore, you know it.
If she's watching or listening, that's fine. I don't know.
See, I think it might not be bogus, Anderson. I think he actually wants the possibility that she hear him confessing his love.
Mm-hmm.
He's living dangerously.
Uh-huh.
Living large.
You've been friends for how long?
1 year.
1 year?
Mm-hmm.
And why haven't you asked her out in that year?
I don't know. I just really didn't want to mess up the friendship and what we had going.
No. You're scared.
You know
he's a puss. Yeah. That's why.
Well, not a puss. He knows what the answer.
Maybe the answer would be no.
Yeah.
You think you don't get the feeling she likes you as?
Oh no, she does. Like we flirt around a lot more.
No, Adam, she does. You understand?
Oh yeah. So
yeah.
You're just gay.
No, that's not. It's my male genitalia is kind of, it's not all that big.
Now, now it's a bogus call.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
All right, this is bogus. Yeah, but stop wasting our time, you jackass.
You waited the middle of the night, 6 to 9.
Whole
See,
for
you guys, that's why you've been doing this for a long time, because I would have been like, I would have gotten into that.
Oh, no, he's bogus.
All right.
Yeah.
His penis is bogus.
Yeah. And we could have figured that out 10 minutes ago if Drew would have understood the part where he said her name.
Well, no, I said the only, there's a possibility that he's just living large. That's the only other possibility than bogosity. Did I not?
No, you did not. You said that he's doing it to tell her.
Yeah. So that you hear.
Mm-hmm. Out of me?
No. Not myself,
no.
But like,
no.
I think you're talking mushrooms. No.
Someone keeps saying no.
You have a freaking mouth like my papa. You just watch your mouth. Can't help me say no.
No.
Becca?
Oh, hello?
Hello.
You're 15.
Hi.
You sound hot.
Huh?
I mean, you're 13.
13.
Oh,
yes,
goodness.
I'm 13.
What's up?
Oh, well, okay. My three brothers and sisters, they have a different dad than me, and they tease me because I don't know my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, I see a therapist, and he tells me that I should express my emotions by, like, crying and crap. And I can't do it, and I don't feel any emotions about my dad at all.
Yeah.
And it bugs me.
Well, where is he? Do you know where he is?
No, well, I know the last I heard about him is that he lives in the coast, and he worked in a donut shop.
So he's doing well.
Nice. He can really build a fantasy around that, too.
Oh.
Maybe he went off to the Russian army after that. But what kind of therapist is that? Like, you need to have your feelings. That's ridiculous.
Old lady.
Well, listen, Becca, that's why you're in therapy, because you can't connect with those feelings. The wiring isn't there.
Yeah.
And she needs to be available to you and just allow you to develop the capacity for having feelings about yourself and her in her presence without relying on some of these, you know, without feeling shame, without having guilt and all these other things, destructive feelings.
What does your mom say about your brothers and sisters making fun of you?
She really doesn't say much about it. She's tried so hard to, like, discipline them and stuff, but they don't listen, and so she's just kind of given up.
Okay.
Who was talking in the background when we put you on the air?
Oh, that was my idiotic friend and her mom.
Oh, all right. Okay. And her mom. Wow.
Yeah, and her mom. Yeah, her mom's awesome.
For somebody that's probably just high, really.
Rebecca, you're a fairly expressive person. You know what I mean? What, you just can't express any feelings about your dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, here's the deal, Becca. A lot of people that call this show and listen to this show have had some trouble with their dad. They don't know him. The guy was abusive, what have you.
Yeah.
So, and they do okay.
Uh-huh.
It's not as good as having a loving dad who's home every night, but sounds like you have been able to move on okay. Yeah. And then you're seeing a therapist.
Yeah.
Your siblings are trying to shame you, and, you know,
that's what they do.
Yeah.
But that's what...
Pick on each other.
It's what... sisters and brothers do. I just screw with you. I just beat the crap out of my sister.
You did. You beat her up.
Well, no, actually, I didn't beat her up. I just sort of taunted her until she went after me with, like, crocheting needles and a bullwhip once.
Oh, bullwhip. That's a nice touch.
Well, let me tell you something about women. Women have no qualms about using weapons.
Right.
Because they're physically inferior, so they think it's all right.
Right.
So, you know, they'll pick up. And women have worse... women are more violent than men in the sense that...
Impulsively.
Impulsively. When they snap.
Sure.
Like, if you're walking with a woman and you, by mistake, step on her toe, she'll throw an elbow at you.
There is no kung fu master female who controls...
No, there's... No.
exists, right?
No, there's no master
grasshopper.
Right. Yeah, grasshopper. They react. Women will punch you.
Do.
Like, guys... won't do it. Like, if a guy's walking with a girl, and the girl, by mistake, puts her heel into the guy's toe, the guy's not going to sock the girl in the back of the head.
Well, because he's not supposed to.
Not supposed to.
Right.
A woman, if you pinch her or do something that hurts her, or that she feels some immediate physical pain, will take a swing at you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not all women.
Most. They're tough that way. They're more impulsive physically. My sister was much, like, I would just screw with her and wrestle with her and stuff. She would grab something and throw it at me.
I've got many male friends who who had a scissor or a knitting needle or something put in their leg or arm by a sister.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah. My sister stabbed
me. Not intentionally, but like, and then they're after with women, the girl's like, oh my God, oh my God, what did I do?
The worst I ever do is pinch my sister. I would never do that.
You'd have a brother.
You gotta have a brother.
Oh.
Brother really unlocks.
Yeah.
Crazy coos thing that women have just beneath the surface, and then they immediately snap out of it.
Yeah.
So it's really they're dangerous
crazy
weapons.
Crazy coos.
Mm-hmm. You have to get to your inner crazy coos. Sean.
It's a new John Bradshaw book.
Drew's in touch with him. The inner crazy coos.
Oh my.
This is post-Soviet Union communism. It's 2005. The inner coos is missing. All right. They do commercials on radio for books.
Yeah, yeah.
It never sounds that exciting to me. It's like, all right, it's a book, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about a movie. It's one that means a book. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Yep.
What about Sean? Sean's 22. Things getting serious with girlfriends.
Said she has warts, wants to stay. Stay and wear a condom.
Cool. Stay and wear a condom.
All right, Sean?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Right. You got to stay and wear a condom, all right?
Stay with her.
And wear a condom.
Protect yourself.
Loveline is brought to you by Trojan.
That's right.
Thank you.
And we'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. And we're doing a best of tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to say bye and thanks tonight. I want to thank Carney Wilson for coming in here.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy the show. You guys are great.
Thank you. And thanks for coming in. Playboy on newsstands as we speak. And also the book, I'm Still Hungry, is out. And the CD, which is going to be out in September sometime. And then a Wilson Phillips reunion. And it's all good. So I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones all week long. I want to thank Brian. Yeah, yeah, buddy. Your number one coffee dude. Yeah. Doing a great job on the phones. Junior producer, Lauren, for doing something. I don't know, I'm not sure if I saw her this week. And producer Ann for booking big names on this show.
Thanks,
and doing a wonderful job as usual. And of course, the magic finger one.
Whatever.
The Liberace of the potentiometers, Engineer Anderson. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Do you have nice boobs?
What?
Do you have nice boobs?
Shut up.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.